with Silvia Solorzano, who will speak about the recent rejection of indigenous and civil rights amendments proposed for the Guatemalan Constitution and how it will affect the rights of these groups and Guatemalan society in general.
Ms. Solorzano is an international representative of the women organized in the Unidad Revolucionaria Nacional Guatemalteca, or the URNG. There will be beautiful music with the Grupo Los Santos after this talk, and if you stay, you will be bound to enjoy it. The date is Wednesday, June 2nd, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. in El Taller Latinoamericano at 2710 West Broadway. That's at the corner of 104th Street.
For more information, call Sebastian at 718-857-2990. That's 718-857-2990.
This is a public service announcement of WBAI on behalf of Comité Solidaridad con el Pueblo de Guatemala.
And you tune to radio station WBAI in New York, where the time is just about 8 o'clock. Once again, it's Off the Hook time. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. It's Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour. And we have a very special show planned for you tonight, as this is kind of like the planning show for the demonstrations coming up on Friday. We're going to have more details on that. And in case you're wondering what that noise is in the background, of course, in our brand new studios, all the air conditioning decided to fail on this, the hottest day of the year so far. So we decided to just open up the doors and the windows wherever they are, and the fans and all those kind of things. So you might have to deal with a little bit of noise in the background, but we're the ones that are actually sweating or whatever's out. We'll be back in just a moment. Okay, I think we got everything just about set here in the studios. Afternoon, Isaac?
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Evening, actually.
Whatever it is, it feels like it's the core of the sun in here.
Oh, yes.
But we're not going to complain. It's unprofessional to complain about the discomfort that you're experiencing physically on the air, so we're just going to skip over that part. But if you sound pained or a little perturbed, that's the reason, not because of the usual reasons. Anyway, it's boiling down to this Friday, the demonstrations to free Kevin Mitnick.
Nice pun, by the way.
Well, I actually appreciate not pointing out all the puns that I inadvertently make, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of them tonight. We have a demonstration scheduled for this Friday at 2 p.m. outside the federal courthouse in Manhattan. That's down on Pearl Street, 500 Pearl Street. Easily accessible by, I believe, the 4 and the 5 trains, and a couple other ones, too, but I'm not sure. They might be doing construction on those lines, so I'm not sure if they, the J and the M actually go there right now. But the 4 and the 5 definitely do, and just walk around. You should be able to see us. Now, I had a very interesting experience. I went down there to scope it out with a bunch of other people who showed up at the pre-demo meeting that we had last Friday. And you wouldn't believe this. We were walking around looking at the buildings. Actually, this didn't happen then. This happened to me 2 days before. We went down there to sort of scope it out again and sort of see if it happened a second time, which it didn't.
What happened?
What happened was, I was walking around the whole court complex there. They have, you know, all the different kinds of buildings. They got your family court. They got your state supreme court. They got your federal court. They got your everything. City, family, every denomination you could possibly think of.
One-stop justice.
Basically, yeah, it's all down there. Prisons, you know, bus stops, everything. They got it all. So I figured it would be nice if I was prepared to come to this meeting on Friday and have pictures of the actual site, you know, where we stand, where we don't stand, where the cars go, where we go, things like that. Well, it went fine, you know, no problems. I was taking pictures of everything all over the place until I got to one point outside the, actually, it was next to the federal building. Now, the federal building is all cordoned off, and I think this is something that's sort of duplicated in other parts of the country, where there are all these either construction type of things going on or big concrete barriers. Basically, it's very controlled access. Now, they have a big wide staircase, pretty similar to the post office up on 34th Street, you know, where it basically goes for a whole block of a staircase going down. They have the whole thing gated off and just one little narrow corridor going up to a single door, and at the bottom of which is a big U.S. Marshal standing there. It's kind of bizarre because all of a sudden, you know, the building no longer is being used as it was intended. So I was walking around taking pictures of the square next door. This was right where I got arrested too, with the city demonstration against police brutality.
This was a different event.
Yeah, this was the event earlier this year where I got arrested, and hence the charges got dropped too, which was nice. But what basically happened at that point, I was standing on the steps of the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, taking a picture back of the federal building, the sidewalk as it goes down Pearl Street. And all of a sudden, I noticed this federal marshal start running towards me.
U.S. Marshal is running at you now.
Yeah, he was running towards me, of course.
Did you think your camera was like a weapon, or?
Well, I don't know what he was thinking, but I did notice that he was looking at me and he was heading my way. So I, of course, went to zoom in and grab a shot of him as he was approaching, which I got a pretty good one, and you can look for it on the website pretty soon. But what he said was that I'm not allowed to take pictures of that building. I am not allowed to take pictures of a federal courthouse because, in his words, it is quote unquote a secured area. And I was, you know, I played ignorant because that's the best way to deal with things like this, is to play ignorant, not get into a combative situation right away. That's what the radio airwaves are for. What I said to him was, this is I'm in the middle of the city. How could I not take a picture of a building? That doesn't sound right to me. And he said, well, it's the law. You're not allowed to take a picture of a federal courthouse. You can take a picture of this building over here. And he pointed to the state courthouse.
Well, he actually recommended that
he said, go right ahead and take a picture of the state courthouse, but don't take a picture of the federal courthouse. And, you know, I was nodding and smiling in my, you know, best tourist impression I could put on, because, you know, I wanted to get out of there with my skin. But inside, I was festering. Inside, I was boiling, like I am now. And I was basically saying to myself, my God, how can someone stand there and say with a straight face, much like the people outside the prison in Los Angeles said to us last summer, you cannot take a picture of a building in the middle of a city. First of all, the stupidity of it. I could be standing across the street inside another building and get a far better shot. You know, I could be in an airplane probably and get a better shot of this. It's, you know, I was just basically standing on a sidewalk taking a picture of a sidewalk. And these people are under orders to tell you not to do that. What is going on here? You have the impression, distinct impression, that this is some kind of occupying force that's very uncomfortable amongst the people, and they want to keep the people away from them. It's really very bizarre, frightening, scary, and a little funny too. It brought up some concerns though, because if they reacted like this to one person with a little Polaroid camera, what are they going to do when a lot of people are there? And media is there with videotape and all kinds of other things.
Ooh, videotape. Very dangerous.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
That's 30 frames a second, you know. That's far, far greater a risk than your single-shot camera.
It's a lot of frames. A lot of frames. We've asked around. We've talked to some legal people. And you know what? We're in the right here. We are in the right. They cannot stop us from taking pictures in cities. They cannot stop us from walking up and down in front of the building. They may try to intimidate us, but you know what? If you show up on Friday, there'll be a lot of people on our side there, so you don't have to worry about things like that. But it's just it's a really sad commentary when people resort to things like that.
Indeed.
It really is.
I remember at the Miramax event, we had a gentleman who was our something of our, you know, wandering legal counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Are we expecting an individual like that at this
point? Yes, we're hoping to do that not only here in New York, but in other cities as well.
Excellent.
And the big news in New York, and this is something really big, and it affects everybody in New York, not just the people that are coming to the demonstration, but everybody. All right, you listening? At 3 p.m., about an hour after the demonstration starts, if you look up in the sky, assuming the sky is clear, which I'm told the last weather forecast says it will be, you will see skywriting. That's right, skywriting over Manhattan saying, free heavens.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a hack. How was that managed?
Well, I can't exactly give out the details as to how we pulled that one off, but that is what's going to be happening. That's how big this is. If you look over Manhattan, all the people in Manhattan can look out their windows or up in the sky at that time. I understand if you're in Central Park, it'll look like it's directly above you, but it'll be visible for 30 miles. So even if you're in the suburbs, you can get a look at this. But the best place to be to view it, of course, is outside Federal Courthouse in Manhattan, Friday, 2 p.m. And it's going to be very interesting. I anticipate it'll be a very pleasant experience for everybody who's there, because on Friday what we did was we had a meeting at Citicorp, then we went downtown, and we were handing out brochures, the little yellow brochures that we printed up for the pre-demo. We're going to have new versions of those available on Friday, because the demonstration will be taking place. We'll be trying to reach new people. What we found was, by handing this out to people walking by in the street, people sitting on the subway, people even driving in cars, was amazing interest and receptiveness. And a lot of people even knew what it was about. Imagine when you hand someone a free Kevin thing, and they say, wow, Kevin Mitnick. I know about Kevin Mitnick. And that's amazing. And I feel sorry for the people on the air right now who don't know who Kevin Mitnick is. I have no idea what we're talking about. To sum it up in one sentence or less, Kevin Mitnick is a computer hacker. He's been locked up since February of 1995. I was just thinking the other day, you know, Timothy McVeigh was free when this guy was locked up. A Unabomber was free when he was locked up. It's like, you know, a lot of time has gone by.
Yeah.
An awful lot of time. So he's been in jail for all that time, and the worst accusation against him is that he looked at corporate source code for cellular phones. And they went and claimed that this, just by his viewing this, it cost them hundreds of millions of dollars, but oddly enough, they never reported this to their stockholders, as is required by law. And when we revealed that fact only a few weeks ago, well, the reaction was for the federal courts to seal up any further disclosures. You got to wonder, what's going on here? It's really sad. Joining us on the phone right now are two of the coordinators for different demonstrations that we're having across the country, and I'll be going over all the demonstrations that we're having in just a few minutes. We have Guy Montag joining us from Washington, D.C.?
Yeah.
Okay. And from Los Angeles, a familiar voice to our listeners, Kerry. Are you with us?
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm here.
Let's start with you, Guy. What kinds of things do you have planned for Washington, D.C., our nation's capital?
Well, we are we went and did a walkthrough yesterday, and we're going to attempt to do a live stream, a video stream of our demonstration from 2 till 5. And we're still piecing together hardware, and I've still got to get my host to get the server up on my web server. But my web server is on a couple of DS3 lines, so we ought to be able to at 5 frames a second. We ought to be able to put out, you know, a good number of streams to anybody that wanders by. We're essentially just handing out information. We went by and talked to the guard. I forget if he's a park service guy or whatever, to find out exactly where we're allowed to stand. And he showed us, and he was fine with us. And oh, by the way, our guards seem to be a lot nicer than your guards in New York.
You know, I've noticed that every time I go to Washington D.C., the people in front of the federal buildings are so much nicer. And I think the reason is that they deal with a lot more tourists. In New York, if you find the federal courthouse, it's because you either committed a crime or you're in the wrong place.
Oh, no kidding! Because me and my girlfriend went there Sunday to your federal courthouse with our video camera. And but we looked like a couple of tourists, so they didn't bother us. We got some great video of your guards too.
I'm sure they'll be pleased as punch to hear that.
Yeah, and we walked right by, and I was out after I got a good distance away from them, walking right in front of them. I took pictures of the building and commented on it and everything on the tape. And as I was walking by them, I had the camera just sitting to my side, and so. Unless we edit the film a whole bunch, it's going to look like some hippie 1960s college project or something.
But, well, maybe that's appropriate.
It could be. Let's see. At our our pre-demonstration setup that we were doing yesterday, we got some real good footage of one of our younger guys taking a free Kevin sticker and running up the steps of the Supreme Court and holding it over his head. And it didn't dawn on me until afterwards. It was kind of like those lame, what's that lame software company that's got the I Am Superman commercial?
I think it's Lotus Domino,
yeah.
Lotus Domino or something.
Yeah, I have to use that crap at work. Anyway, it kind of reminded me of that. So if we figure out a way to put that to the music, then that'll be a good ad we can put on our website anyway. And we've been distributing flyers. We're putting them up all around the metro system, and which, by the way, the closest stop to the United States Supreme Court is Capitol South on the Red Line. In case anybody's listening, that's planning on coming out Friday. Afterwards, we went and checked by two other locations after the demonstration. We're going to stop by a place called the Monocle, which is the bar that the Senate hangs out at after work. And we're going to try to talk to people and leave information with them. And then we're going to go down to another place called Bullfeathers, which is where all the staffers from the Congress hang out at after they get off from work, and see if we can distribute some information there and talk to some people, and then head over to our regular 2600 meeting that the Secret Service finally stopped visiting. And yesterday after we got done, we did get some good videotape of a bunch of yuppies holding up a Free Kevin sign, yelling Free Kevin, and then asking us afterwards, who's Kevin?
Well, yeah, you do get that quite a bit, too, and a lot of people want the sticker simply because their name is Kevin. But in the end, the word does get out. You know, I've noticed a lot of people take the stickers now, and they know who Kevin is, as opposed to just asking who's Kevin. So that means something is working. They're visiting the websites. And speaking of the websites, Kerry is our webmaster over at freekevin.com or kevinmitnick.com. Kerry, how do things look out in L.A.?
Well, it looks like we're going to have at least 20 people. That's by my emails that I've received. Hopefully we're going to have a lot more than that. I'd really like to get a lot of people out there. We are going to have stickers there, free stickers. We're hopefully going to have some pens and pencils with the Free Kevin logo and shirts. Those are being sent, and hopefully we'll get those in time for that. Kevin's dad and his cousin are supposed to be there.
Now, that's interesting. You see, you're probably one of the most significant demonstrations, rather, because Kevin is being held in L.A. a few feet away from where the demonstration is going to take place, and we really do expect some of his relatives to show up at the demonstration.
Yes. Yeah, this is the primary place to be. So if anyone is even close to L.A. and you can make it into town, then please come because we need you.
Yes, and we need you in whatever city you happen to be in. You might want to check the list of meetings, or actually I keep saying meetings, I mean demonstrations. The reason why is because we link these to the 2600 meetings, and basically that is our organizing point. It's working out pretty well, too, because we already have a bunch of people gathering in a certain place, so it makes sense to actually have people do something constructive. And we've been getting a lot of enthusiasm. Philadelphia, for instance, they're building a giant papier-mâché Liberty Bell. And that is going to be a sight to behold when they march in front of the federal courthouse in Philadelphia.
An actual size papier-mâché Liberty
Bell. I think it's actually bigger.
Larger than the original Liberty Bell.
It's huge. It's huge. There are going to be pictures of that on the web as well. We also are having demonstrations in Atlanta, Buffalo, Chicago, Cleveland, Denver, Las Vegas, Moscow in Russia.
Really?
Yes. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be outside the embassy.
Well,
Omaha.
I'd imagine,
yeah, they don't have federal courthouses there.
Yeah.
At least not our federal courthouses. Omaha, Nebraska, Portland, Maine, St. Paul, Minnesota, San Francisco, and Spokane, Washington. That's in addition to Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles, and New York, of course.
New York.
Yeah, I forgot about New York. It's going to be pretty interesting. We will have the flyer available up on the website probably tonight that people can make copies of and hand out at the actual demonstration. Any more interesting experiences from either of you guys?
Well, let's see, in Washington, other than trying to get the streaming business going, and we're doing it from the site on a ricochet up to the server. Other than that, things have been going pretty smooth. We had a dozen people show up for this our final pre-demonstration get together, and we're expecting about five or six more people that had emailed either me or Sarah and told us that they weren't going to be able to make that, but they're going to be able to make the demo. Let's see, other than that, we haven't had any problems out of anybody. Oh, yeah, I forgot. One of our guys, a guy from the Hacker Defense Fund, Road Dancer.
Oh, yes, Road Dancer.
Yeah, he just happens to have press credentials, and he also has some connection with one of those free access cable TV channels, and he's supposed to be coming with his own camera and doing a spot for that. Now, I've already been, I'm sure all the other organizers have been too. I've already been contacted by Wired for a telephone interview with them.
So far we have Wired, 60 Minutes, and MTV interested in covering this, and once the press releases start being filtered all over the place, I'm sure we'll have more media people there. But what people need to understand, even if you're in a smaller city, and you don't expect to get more than a handful of people, there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly okay. Even if there's two people, the way they control access to these buildings now, it's very easy to hit everybody going into the building or out of the building because it's only one door. As long as there's a couple of people handing things out to everybody who goes in or out of the building or people who walk by the building, you've got it covered, and everybody in there is going to know that you're out there. And that's what this is all about. It's great to get a whole lot of people because that tells us that there's support. And, of course, we know there's a lot of support already, but it's good to see it in the flesh. But by no means, if your town only has a handful of people show up, don't be discouraged by that. Some of the larger demonstrations obviously will have more people, but, again, we don't want to put the pressure on. It's not a competition.
As far as D.C. goes, it is kind of a weird town, though. We don't have the mass of people that will demonstrate for a lot of things that you guys on in New York and over in Los Angeles and San Francisco seem to have a good stock of. I was really amazed. It really kind of knocked me over that we had a dozen people wanting to volunteer and take their time out of school and take their time out of work to actually be involved in this. And general people on the street, we get everything from the stereotype response that you expect to get of, well, he must have done something wrong, and, well, that's not the issue. It's, you know, you can't keep somebody in jail for 4.5 years without trying them. And all the way to, hey, I can't believe this can happen in America, which is a response we got from two guys about 60 years old on the Metro last night.
Interesting. That's also very good that you're passing things out in public places, because that will bring more people down there. We had a few people who we handed things out to on Friday say they were going to show up, and it's good to spread the word. You know, hang signs up in the streets. You know, pass them out to people as you ride the subway. It's the best way to get the word out.
An effect to be aware of, especially all you other organizers out there. If you haven't noticed this, just expect this to happen. There was a whole tour of school children coming through, and we had our school-age guy that had showed up go through their crowd and hand out information. And they ended up just throwing it on the ground, and we went by and policed it up. But be aware at your various demonstrations, people are going to throw your flyers on the ground, and you need to get that cleaned up, because it's going to make you look bad if there's a bunch of trash lying around that says, you know, that's exactly what you've been handing out.
That's right. And we do encourage people to not be confrontational, to act responsibly. I think this will be a pleasant experience for one and all. The reason why we're outside federal courthouses is because this is the federal system that we are protesting. While Kevin is being held in Los Angeles, similar types of cases could be going on inside the federal courthouse in your area, and they need to know that people aren't going to stand for that kind of thing. That's the way any kind of movement is begun. Speaking of movements, you know you got a real movement when you see things on network TV, you know, showing up in places you don't expect. And guess where a Free Kevin sticker showed up? Someone emailed us this, and I actually got to see it myself. On the WBTV show called Felicity, a prop in the background of somebody's apartment was a Free Kevin sticker. Can you believe that?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of scary, actually. It's just these things are popping up everywhere. So, yeah, the word is out there in various ways. Some people just like the name Kevin. Some people actually know what it's all about, but due to the hard work of people like Guy and Kerry and all the other people, all the other coordinators out there, this is going to succeed.
By the way,
yes.
If any of the wrong people are listening, like people that might want to cause trouble, the DC event is going to be on videotape from about, I don't know, 14 different angles. So, because let's see, we've all learned from, well, now the Secret Service incident happened before I got involved with DC 2600. But, you know, we've all learned from that if the police are the only ones that own the videotape, then you're just out of evidence.
That's certainly true. That's something we've learned here in New York as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Guys, we're going to go to the phones. The way our phone system is set up, though, it's not going to be really easy for us to keep you on at the same time. You're going to get all kinds of feedback like we got before. So I'm going to give you a chance to give any kind of closing comments or advice or any kind of call to arms you'd like to give. Kerry, how about we start with you?
I just want to encourage people to come.
Yeah, that's not Kerry speaking. I don't know what that is, but Kerry, please try and continue.
Yeah, I just want to encourage people to come if you can. I heard from some people in San Diego that might be coming up because apparently they don't have their own demonstration organized, anything like that. If people can come, you know, please do.
And the address,
you need a crowd here.
The address is june4@2600.com. If you go to the website, www.2600.com, and go to the demonstration section, which is you shouldn't have any trouble getting to, you'll see a list of coordinators, and you can email those people directly. They'll get back to you with specific information on the local scene. That's if you're having trouble getting there, you don't know where it is, or you have specific questions. Basically, we've gotten this question a number of times. Can I just show up? Now, of course, you can just show up. You don't have to have gone to the meetings beforehand. Some people thought that you had to go to the pre-planning meetings in order to show up. This is open to everybody. And we welcome as many people as possible to show up. Again, in New York, it's taking place at the Federal Courthouse downtown on 500 Pearl Street. And that is reachable by the 4 and the 5 train. You get off at, actually, 4, 5, and 6. You get off, you get off at the Brooklyn Bridge stop, and you just follow. It should not be hard to find. I got lost once, but it's, you just ask anybody where the Federal Courthouse is, and they'll point you our way. In Los Angeles, Carrie, what's the address out there?
I don't have the address with me. It's downtown. The address actually is on the 2600 site.
Actually, I have it here. Just bear with me for a moment. I should be able to find it.
I think it's on Spring Street.
Yeah. It's, again, not hard to find. Of course, in L.A., public transit is a little bit different. It's on 312 North Spring Street. That's right. That's the U.S. Central District of California, Western Division, Spring Street Courthouse. And, again, that will be starting at 2 p.m. Every meeting is going to have something interesting going on, whether it be the people who show up, things in the sky that you're not expecting to see, paper mache Liberty Bells, you name it. And it's not too late to plan more things in your particular town. And if you're in a town that does not yet have a demonstration planned, while it's really, we really can't start the whole organizational process this late in the game, you can still show up at your federal courthouse and just hand out brochures. There is nothing wrong with that. Even if it's not on the list, the official list of where we're having demonstrations, any federal courthouse, actually any place really, even if you're in a town someplace in the middle of Kansas and you want to participate in this, you can. You can participate on that day at that time. It's kind of cool to do it at the same time. Print out a whole bunch of the flyers, which will be up on the site pretty soon, and just hand them out. Like, Guy, any closing comments from you?
Yeah, just want to give out the address of the United States Supreme Court, which is number 1 First Street Northeast, Washington, D.C. And, again, it's on the red line. Well, it's about halfway between Union Station in D.C., not the one in New York, and what's it, Capitol South. And and also, I would like to give a big shout out to Sarah, who has been taking care of our emailing list on information, and all the other people that showed up. And then a side shout out to Espo, who helped me get the Knoxville, Tennessee 2600 meeting started.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you for all your efforts, both you and Carrie, and hope for best success on Friday. We'll be reporting back on this next week.
Okay, good luck, Carrie.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks.
Okay. We're going to be taking some phone calls now. Our phone number is 212-209-2900. Yes, thank you. Before we do that, though, I have to figure out how to hang up the phones. Okay. I want to give a rundown of the various demonstrations, where they're taking place exactly. And we're going to do this in alphabetical order, so nobody is offended. Atlanta, Georgia. And this is in conjunction with SummerCon, which is taking place on the same day in Atlanta. Yeah, so it should be a real real shindig down there. The U.S. Northern District of Georgia, 75 Spring Street Southwest. Another Spring Street.
They're just cropping up everywhere.
Interesting. Spring Street seems to attract federal courthouses. Be careful if you live on a Spring Street somewhere. You don't know. Okay, and that's taking place, again, as all of them are, Friday, 2 p.m., local time. I had someone actually ask me, is it local time your time or local time their time? The whole purpose of the phrase local time, it means local time, their time. Obviously, their local time, or it's not local time. Yeesh. The questions I get sometimes, you just would not believe it.
Well, sometimes people don't realize it. All right, that was stupid, never mind.
Yeah. Buffalo, U.S. Western District of New York, 68 Court Street. It makes more sense to be on Court Street, though. It's a court. That's taking place, again, Friday, 2 p.m., local time. Chicago, U.S. Northern District of Illinois, Eastern Division, the Everett McKinley Dirksen Building. That's on 219 South Dearborn Street. And I'm also looking to see if there's any organizing meetings that have not taken place yet. So far, there are none. Okay, actually, we have one here that's taking place right now. In Cleveland, the location of demonstration on Friday will be the U.S. Northern District of Ohio, 201 Superior Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio. And right now, at this very moment, it started actually at 7:30 p.m., there is an organizing meeting at the place where they have 2600 meetings in Cleveland at the, I don't know how you pronounce this, the Arabica?
Don't look at me.
Well, I don't know. That's how, that, it's a word I'm not familiar with that is popular out there in Ohio. The Arabica on Coventry Road, where 2600 meetings is usually held. It's a corner of Coventry and Euclid Heights Boulevard in Cleveland Heights. So if you're listening in Cleveland and you feel like getting in your car and or just running over there, better hurry. All right, Denver, the U.S. District of Colorado Courthouse, 1929 Stout Street. Las Vegas, U.S. District of Nevada Courthouse, Las Vegas Division, 300 Las Vegas Boulevard South. In case you're wondering, that's in Las Vegas. Los Angeles, as we mentioned, 312 North Spring Street, the U.S. Central District of California. In Moscow, all right, actually, they're having, if there are any listeners out in Moscow, which, you know, even I have to doubt, but maybe there are, who knows, the last pre-demo meeting of organizers will be at a special 2600 meeting tomorrow, the 2nd of June, at 7 p.m., 1900 hours. That'll be at the Metro VDNH, Prospect Mira, House 124, Building 12, at the White Door. Oh, it sounds so surreptitious, doesn't it? Yeah. Someone will ask you
knock twice
if the weather has been satisfactory recently, and you'll respond that the birds are flying south. Yes. Free Kevin demonstration in New York, of course, the Southern District of New York Courthouse at Foley Square. Foley Square, actually, is how people might know this. The big square where people hang out and have lunch and things like that and watch demonstrators outside courthouses.
But can't look at the building.
We can look at the building. You can't take a photo of the building. No, you know, I'm just saying this because that's what they told me, but it's wrong.
Okay.
It's wrong. You can, of course, take a photo of a building in New York City. Don't let anybody tell you you can't. I will go to prison for this, to stand up for my right to take a... I'll say this right now. It's something I believe I have the right to do. Now,
catch
of course,
light and record it on a film.
If you climb fences and you know journey into lands that are cordoned off and obviously are private and you take pictures, then there might be some kind of an argument that you would get into
trespassing.
Yeah, trespassing among other things. But this is the middle of New York City, and I'm sorry, I'm just not going to have some U.S. Marshal guy tell me you can't take a picture of that building. I mean, it just really rubs me the wrong way. Speaking of rubbing it the wrong way, this noise is. I'm gonna turn off the fan for a little while. See if we roast. If so, I'll turn it back on. Give us some filler while I roll back here.
Okay. He's definitely rolling, and he's going to deactivate the fan now. And I can feel the room getting hotter.
All right, that's better. Oh, that sounds so much better. We have the door open anyway, so give me all the.
What was?
I don't know what that noise was.
Okay.
Some electronic bit of equipment was complaining because, you know, the electronic equipment doesn't like heat either any more than humans do. Of course, the electronic equipment is generating the heat, but never mind that. All right, so that's New York, Omaha, Nebraska, the U.S. District of Nebraska Courthouse, 215 North 17th Street. And there's going to be a meeting tomorrow, June 2nd. Tomorrow is June 2nd, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I want to make sure tonight wasn't June 2nd. That'll be at 7:30 p.m. at the Oakview Barnes & Noble in the cafe area. And I'll be talking about carpools, what the rules are, all kinds of plans, et cetera. Philadelphia, the U.S. Eastern District of Pennsylvania Courthouse, 601 Market Street. Portland, Maine, the U.S. District Court of Maine, 156 Federal Street. And they'll be having a meeting on June 2nd. Further details will be announced on the website, although it's likely that it'll take place at the site of the 2600 meeting up there. St. Paul, Minnesota, United States District Court of Minnesota, 316 North Robert Street. San Francisco, the U.S. Northern District of California Courthouse, 450 Golden Gate Avenue. I understand they're going to be having an airplane as well with a big banner in back of it, you know, like they have with the beaches.
All right.
And it'll have all kinds of information on there, and that'll be kind of neat to have as
cool.
Well. Spokane, Washington, U.S. Eastern District of Washington Courthouse, West 920 Riverside Avenue. And finally, Washington, D.C., as we mentioned, the United States Supreme Court, 1 First Street Northeast. And again, all of these demonstrations taking place Friday, 2 p.m. local time, the time that you are in when you are in that city. And we'll be going to whenever you feel like stopping, really. The idea mostly is to hand out information, get the word out, get the word into the buildings, the federal buildings, so people there know that we're out here. And you know what that is? That's my beeper.
Oh.
Yeah, it's on vibrate.
Oh, okay. But it's vibrating against the desk there.
It's vibrating against the CD, yeah. I'll put it over here. So that's the idea, to get the word out to all the people inside and also all the people walking by. And you can do this right now. You can print the flyer that is there now that announces the meeting. You'll have to fill in your particular local information. But the idea is to get people out there to spread the word about the whole Kevin Mitnick case. This is the home stretch as far as I'm concerned. This is where what it boils down to, getting the word out. Because on June 14th, they will be sentencing him to something, whether it be more prison time, whether it be immediate release to a halfway house, whatever. The tide is going to turn one way or another on that day. All right, 212-209-2900. We have a full switchboard, so let's get right to it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, well,
you got to speak up a little.
Yeah, I'd like to report another Free Kevin sighting.
Okay.
This one is in a comic book.
You saw a Free Kevin sighting in a comic book?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a comic book called Empty Zone. It's published by some company, Sirius Entertainment, which is some small comic book publishing company. And this is this comic is called Empty Zone. It's issue number one. And on the first page, when you open it up, when you look down, you see all the legal copyright stuff.
Uh-huh.
On the bottom, it says, any similarities to persons living or dead, well, just can't happen. Sorry, be good, think for yourself, be informed, don't be a slave. And then it's after that, the last thing is Free Kevin.
Wow.
Very cool.
I would like to get a copy of that. Is that available now?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to probably be at the protest in New York on Friday, so I'll just bring it along. Sure.
Cool.
Show it to everybody.
Is that something that's available on newsstands now or comic book stores?
Probably, comic book stores. Yeah, that's where I got it.
Uh-huh. What's the name of it again?
It's Empty Zone. It has a girl with a gun sitting on a shot TV on the cover.
Okay, that narrows it down to
a girl with a gun on the cover. All right, I got to pick up. Oh, never mind.
Okay, well, thanks for the observation. We'll see you on Friday.
All right, you too.
All right, 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
I'm going to try and be at the thing on Friday.
You don't have to try that hard. Give it some effort, but if things look, you know, like it might be, you know, a drop of rain or something like that,
I'll give it,
by all means, stay indoors.
Anyway, I'd like to mention that, getting off subject a little, AT&T now charges you to ask for an area code or country code or things like that. In other words, you used to be able to dial AT&T and ask for the area code in Pittsburgh. Or, you know...
Well, wait a minute. If you dial O, will you tell me if you dial O, you get charged for it?
No, 00, AT&T.
Okay, that's what I mean. 00, all right. And what, AT&T says they charge you if you dial 00
right.
Now?
They said, try it. Dial 1-800-CALL-ATT.
Uh-huh.
And they say, well, they have an annoying recording. Well, AT&T 00 Info can give you that information, but they have to charge you.
Interesting. I'm going to try that. It's CALL-ATT, right?
1-800-CALL-ATT, or you could dial 10288 or 00 or however you get AT&T.
Thanks for the info. Yeah, we're going to try that.
Many companies have lots of long-distance call numbers. Mm-hmm. That's why we're running out of, like, Bell Atlantic has, like, one number to call for caller ID, another 800 number to call for this, another 800 number to call.
The real reason why we're running out of numbers is because of the way they allocated them in blocks of 10,000. It's a real sham, and there's no reason for people to have to change area codes more than they change their underwear. You know, it's...
quote service...
Well, most people, anyway.
You know the thing in quote service? I just got back from Canada. It does it in Canada, too.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the Bell operator dial a number that you're at a hotel, what's your room number? You can give them a fake room number, and then they'll charge the number that you call.
Yeah, you've talked about this about 40,000 times.
And also, people are still stuffing payphones on the coin returns. Remember I used to mention that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And do you know about tip cups? Whenever you go into, like, Starbucks coffee or some pizzerias, they have...
I've never been to a Starbucks in my life. I hope to keep that up.
Because they're so expensive. They're so expensive, and yet they have the audacity to put a big cup with a big sign that says tips.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like when I went to see a film the other day, and I spent $9.50 on a film, and then they asked me if I want to make a donation to Roy Rogers. You know, that's not the time. You know, you get mugged in the park, that's not the time to be asked, hey, you want to make a donation. You know, I'm sorry.
Save the whale.
Yeah,
you
got to
be careful about that Starbucks thing, because you might trip and fall into one at some point.
They are everywhere.
Yeah.
They are everywhere. In fact, you know, Yeah, I expect a Starbucks in the BAI lobby at some point. You know, they just are popping up.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be all too upset with
And you're
that.
Someone who wasn't in a Starbucks either only a few weeks ago ever in your life, and now all of a sudden look at you.
Well, you know, is it going to be free, or are they going to charge me like $7 for a cup of coffee?
I don't know. I don't even know. And we just got a suggestion from Guy Montag, who was on the show earlier from D.C., that people call radio show. Obviously, don't call this radio show to tell us about the demonstration because we know about it, but call other radio shows on other radio stations throughout the country. You know, those conservative shows that dominate every place. Call them. Get everybody involved. Let them know. Those Clear Channel AM stations. You can get through to a lot of things. Call the Shop at Home networks, you know, the way you talk about what you just bought on
the
air.
Yes, I just
call the religious. Call the religious networks. Call everybody and tell them about the demonstrations on Friday.
Hmm.
All right, let's give rebels a little trick a try here. First, we're going to dial zero. All right, we're going to try to find what bit of information should we find?
How about the NPA for Omaha? Well,
you know what? I know. Yeah, we'll ask for the area code for Los Angeles. There's about 50 of them now, so we'll see what they do. Okay. Now I know if we dial just 10, we get AT&T. So let's see if they try to charge us. Or say they're going to charge us. Or if we even get an operator in the first place.
AT&T. To place a call, please dial the number that you are calling. For 00 info U.S. directory, press 1. For other requests, please say information, credit, or operator.
Operator.
Please hold for operator assistance.
AT&T, how may I help you?
Hi, I'm trying to find out the area code for Los Angeles.
213.
213? Do they have maybe another one? Hello?
Guess you just gave me your info and hung up.
That's not very polite, AT&T. It really isn't. We pay your salaries, you know. We're out here paying for all those phone calls we make, and you just say 213 and hang up on us? I happen to know Los Angeles has about 5,000 area codes. They have 323, they have 215, 818. You could have said something like that. You know, I'm the customer back here in New York. I'm very confused right now. I'm just going to have to call back. So let's call the 800 number.
DTMF.
But they didn't charge us, at least.
Well,
they were surly, but they didn't charge us. Well, yeah.
To place a calling card or credit card call, press 1. To place a collect call, press 2. For AT&T customer service, press 3. For 00 info U.S. directory, press 4. For operator assistance, press 0.
That's what we want.
No vocal commands on that one?
Apparently not.
AT&T, how may I help you?
Hi, I need to know what the area code for Los Angeles is, please. Thank you.
Have AT&T for
long? Well, you know, I was thinking of getting it. Right now I use MCI, and they're just not very... They get a lot of echo on the line, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Okay, would you like me to dial a number for you?
No, actually, I just need the area code for Los Angeles, if that's possible.
Okay. That service is supplied now by 00 Info, and in order to connect you with that, I'd have to have a calling card, sir.
You mean you can't give me the area code for a city anymore? Without me having to pay for that?
Right. We don't give that information out anymore. That goes through directory.
That's amazing. I don't suppose there's any other bit of information you can give out now without charging me for it? You don't give out the rates, maybe?
Yeah, I'd be happy to give you a rate.
So I can get rate information for free?
Uh-huh.
But for the area code?
Yeah, we don't give out area codes anymore.
Okay. How much would a call to the 323 area code at this time of day cost from this line?
I'll be happy to check for you.
Thank you.
And that was 323 area code?
Yeah, 323.
And do you have a prefix there?
Yeah, let me just look at that. 209.
Where is it you're calling, sir? I'm not showing that as an area code.
You're not showing 323 as an area code?
It's not coming up in the equipment to give you a rate to. What city and state, and I'll pull the rate up like that.
Well, now, you want me to tell you where 323 is, and you won't tell me where 323 is without charging me. You see, that's not really fair, is it?
Oh,
I got transferred. I wonder where I got transferred to.
The complaints voicemail.
She's asking me where 323 is. I'm the note.
This is the AT&T supervisor. My name is Mark. What can I do for you?
Yes, I was just trying to find out the area codes for Los Angeles, and I'm told now that I have to pay to find out that information.
Yes, sir. It's a 99-cent charge. It's handled by directory now.
Do you know why this is happening and when it started?
It started about 2.5 weeks ago.
Really?
Yes, sir.
So now what information can I get from the AT&T operator that I don't have to pay for anymore?
You can get rates and dialing instructions.
And that's about it, huh?
That's about it.
I see. And how much have you guys downsized recently?
We haven't, as far as I know.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much for the info. I'll be sure to write some letters now. Make less phone calls than ever. What is wrong with these people? To get a three-digit number, you have to pay them 99 cents.
That is absolutely incredible.
Unbelievable. You know what's still free?
Oh,
it's still free to call the operator and get connected to the supervisor and bitch to high holy hell about this.
That's
unbelievable. How do we get? How does this happen?
We can give you charge info for free though.
Yeah, we can get that.
That'll
for free.
Be next though.
Yeah, he
it'll
told
cost
me
you 25 cents to tell you that it'll cost you $4.
No, he told
cents.
Me it cost 99 cents for free. That was very nice of him. I appreciate that. I can't
wow.
believe they want area code information from me, though. You know, it's like, tell me where 323 is. That's they don't even know where the area code is. You know, if I had paid 99 cents, I wouldn't have gotten the right information anyway because they don't have it in their records.
Well, at least she was nicer the second time.
No, she wasn't. She connected me to the supervisor without a second comment.
Well,
plus, do you notice how bad that connection was?
Yeah, that was
pretty bad. That was pretty, and I was trying to be nice, you know, saying how MCI is pretty bad. But hey, that gives me an idea.
MCI charge you?
What is the number for MCI?
I have no idea.
Well, actually, I happen to have a number for Sprint memorized.
I wonder why.
It's kind of cool. We have the doors open, so I can hear the touch tones echoing throughout the studio.
That is pretty cool.
All right, now this is obviously what you use to call with a phone card.
Sprint may have the number that you wish to call.
Actually, I was hoping you could help me. I just need to find out what the area code is for Los Angeles.
It is. 213 is one of them. It's a big one. And then 310 and 323 is another big one.
323.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. I want to thank you for giving me that information. You know, AT&T actually charges you just to tell you what you told me now.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Huh.
So I want to commend Sprint for remaining, I guess, conveyors of free information.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And I don't give endorsements out very often on the air, especially Sprint with their Sprint PreCS.
Well, yeah, I guess they even out now.
They even out for that. But, you know, these companies have a way of imitating themselves. They have a way of you know, one charges and then the next one starts charging because they can get away with it.
It's absolutely remarkable.
You know, people have to start doing their own thing, having free information of their own. We call a stranger in a city and they just look it up for you in a phone book, you know, because it costs less. To call overseas information now costs a ridiculous amount, like $5 or something, just for information. And the call is like 20 cents a minute. It's nuts. All right, let's get back on track here, take some more phone calls. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. How you doing? You know, I never did find out what Kevin was charged with, and the other question I had was, how come they never struck a plea bargain, considering this is dragging on so long?
Well, actually, they did reach an agreement where Kevin pleaded guilty to, I believe, 5 charges. And the charges were basically saying, in layman's terms, saying he was somebody he was not on the telephone to various companies, social engineering, in other words. And the final count was modifying computer data, but in a very vague way. It could have been something as simple as logging in, and by logging in, of course, you alter the logs. And, you know, they said nothing about anything harmful being done, so one has to wonder just what it is they're talking about. So those are the charges that he's being sentenced for on June 14th. Now, you and I know these are just very minor, ridiculous things that would be brushed off in most cases, but in Kevin's case, they're actually thinking of putting him back in prison for longer.
Sounds like they had it in for him, obviously.
They did, most definitely.
It's political vendetta there.
Most definitely.
Probably because it was also a second offense, right? He was charged once.
Well, you know, that's a two-way street there, because Kevin was in prison before. He was held in solitary confinement for 8 months. How do you think that makes somebody feel when they're threatened with prison again? It makes them kind of want to take off and not be captured.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Now, speaking of political vendettas, I don't know if people have been following the news recently, but the Senate website got hacked. The FBI website got a denial of service attack. And, of course, there was an incident involving the White House a few weeks earlier where they have a system where if you change something on their site, a crontab instantly changes it back.
Changes it back, yeah.
So while the site was hacked, nobody saw the hacked website, unfortunately. Well, I don't know if I want to say unfortunately, but here's the interesting thing. There were raids recently having to do with the White House website hack and a couple other website hacks. And in retaliation, alleged retaliation, some hackers have been posting various things on different websites, including the Senate. Imagine this, Senate.gov having a manifesto from computer hackers saying, stop raiding us, you know, stop harassing us, things like that. It's my first reaction to something like this is how funny it is. How funny it is that these teenagers are going around and basically causing this real grief for these poor webmasters trying to run a government website. And it's also funny because the people running the websites are so unprepared for what the net is really all about. Now, what is the net really all about? The net is really a bunch of people running around doing as they please. It's not like real-life society, and that's what they never seem to get. They never seem to understand that.
Well, I will grant you that the Internet is certainly an anarchy, but yes, I'm equally amused by seeing Senate.gov have like anti-FBI rating information on it. But it's not exactly the most effective way to get them to finding you.
I mean, it's probably the dumbest thing. If you did research and went to libraries and enlisted the help of all kinds of people and tried to find the dumbest thing you could possibly do, this would exceed it. Because this is not the way we're dealing with federal government here, and they don't actually act with reason when it comes to you know, being angry at you.
We've poked them with a sharp stick. Let's keep doing it.
Yes, but what you have to put this in perspective, we're talking about websites here. We're talking about little signs, public relations, things like that. And I just think it's funny that they are unprepared to be on the net, on the Internet, well, and that these people with you know, far less experience on the planet are able to just easily get by.
Well, it's just as sad that our government doesn't have the necessary capability of securing its own site.
But they are looking at this as some sort of national threat, and that is what the tragedy is, because they're going to go after these people
and say
you're trying to topple the government, or you're a spy, or whatever it is that they decide to say this time, and the vast majority of people are going to fall for this. They're going to believe it. But, folks, it's just a website. Get over it.
You have to remember, we're terrorists now, right up there with the biological releases and chemical
We're
releases.
Terrorists because they need terrorists. They need enemies of all sorts. And it's Kevin is just one of the people that is victimized. There are going to be more, and they'll have many different names. I'm sure we'll have many different demonstrations. Hey, we're out of here. It's time for us to go. Don't forget, this Friday, 2 p.m. outside the federal courthouse in New York and other cities. Go to www.2600.com/demo for all the latest information, and get the word out. Help us spread the word. And for more information on the Kevin case and movement there, go to www.freekevin.com, and there'll be all kinds of information there as well. That's it for us now. You know what? Our intro never stopped playing, so we're going to join it midway. Yeah, that machine seems to be broken. So we'll be back again next week with another edition of Off the Hook. Good night.
Call 633-6646 for bus and ticket information, That's 212-633-6646 at the Pentagon, Saturday, June 5th.
Stay tuned for Tahrir coming up next. You are tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.
Good evening. The time is 9 o'clock. This is Barbara Nimri-Aziz welcoming you again to Tahrir, Voices of the Arab Muslim Community, the progressive Muslim Arab community here and abroad. We'll be with you for the next hour, bringing you our usual incisive and unique programming, a magazine that you won't hear anywhere else, probably in the country. And today we're going to be focusing on Iraq. Revisiting Iraq with doctors in Karbala, with a Middle East Council of Church Aid member, and with the children of Iraq. So please stay tuned. Well, welcome back. This is Barbara Nimri-Aziz, host and executive producer of Tahrir, and I'm here with engineer Nadja Middleton. And we haven't talked about Iraq for many, many weeks, and I wanted to revisit Iraq to look at the situation today, not only politically, but in terms of the people who are still there, what they're doing, what they're saying, how they're feeling in light of various developments. I want to also thank those of you who pledged during our membership drive to whichever program you